Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Can you hear me? No, not this. Can you hear me?
Yeah, how you doing tonight, Doctor?
All right, I'm okay. How you doing? Go ahead, I want to get started with the program, and we'll come back to you. Go ahead.
Okay. Praise God. Let me pray right here real quick. I want to pray for the nation, and I want to pray for those who are lost, and ones who have lost their loved ones in Louisiana and Texas and everywhere else. So I just want to start out here and pray right now. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide us. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for this day. Father, thank you for the blessings you bestow upon each and every one of us. Father, right now I ask that your hand be upon this nation. Your hand be upon all the leaders of this nation and those that you have ordained to lead this nation to the coming elections, Lord. It is you who puts everybody into power. It is you who puts everybody in place, Lord, for your timing, for the will of your will, Lord, to be done here on earth. Whether God, regardless of whether how we would like it one way or the other, Lord, we bow down to your will, Lord, and your will be done. But Father, right now I just want to pray that you would comfort those who have lost their loved ones in Louisiana and in Texas and in other places, Lord, and even for the officer that lost his life in Kentucky today, Lord, it's ongoing, Lord. It should give me to it relentless. Lord, for those people who lost their lives in France and other parts of the world, Lord, and the 300 that lost their lives in Sudan, Lord. Lord, this is not what you've called this nation to be. To sit there and bow down to evil. Lord, that you made this a righteous nation, that we would stand up against evil, Lord, that we would be the light, Lord. Then you called upon your children to be the light of the world, Lord. And we should not bow down to the evils of things of this world, Lord, that we should stand in the brightness of your light that would glorify you, Lord, that would glorify this nation, Lord. And those who would see the light, Lord, that are in darkness, that they would come to the light and come to the knowing of the truth, Lord. Father, thank you right now for being with us, Lord, tonight. Lord, I ask right now that your word would go forth, Lord, not mine. Lord, I lay myself down, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will speak. And we thank you, Father. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You know, just in here, and I was trying to figure out what to be talking about, and God took me into Galatians 5. And as I was reading through it,
yeah, my brother, will you do me a favor? Okay,
what's that?
Let the brother Newsom. I had a mix up in the time. Can you let Newsom come on right now and hold on a few and come on later?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Newsom, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Newsom? Go ahead.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm going to put y'all on. Let's go ahead on.
Okay. Right, Father, we just thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. We adore you. You're the only true living God. And we just thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Father, and please bless. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. For, O God, you are my strength and my redeemer, and it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. I'd like to say hello to all those who are listening all around the world. This is Dr. Newsom. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center, Church International at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive in Houston, Texas. Come by and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 p.m. And if you have your Bibles, please turn your Bibles with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon, Tamar, which is Agedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now, here is three armies, three vast armies, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Ammonites coming against the children of God. Three armies coming against the children of God. And Jehoshaphat, the leader of Israel, he feared God and he set himself to seek the Lord. He reverenced the only true living God, Yahweh, Yud Hey Vav Hey, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jehoshaphat, he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. That's one of the first things that we need to do. We need to go to God first when we're faced with trouble. The scripture says here that Jehoshaphat, he led the people, he led Israel in seeking God. They all gathered together out of all cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Good place to go when you're faced with trouble is the house of the Lord. And that's what Jehoshaphat did. That's what the Israelites did. They went to the house of God to seek God. Verse 6 says, and said, O Lord of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? They're praising God right now. And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? They're boasting in God right now. They're praising God right here. And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? We are the seed of Abraham, and we are God's friends forever. The scripture lets us know, you see right here in verse 7 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the scripture says, Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever. The seed of Abraham is God's friend forever. The scripture lets us know in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, that if we belong to Christ, then are we Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. We are Abraham's seed. That means that we're friends of God forever. Verse 8 says, and they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name's sake. If when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence for thy name in this house and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Underline that right there. If we go to God and begin to praise God and to seek God in the sanctuary, the scripture says here that God will hear and help. It's a good thing when you come to the sanctuary, the house of God, that God has set you in. It's a good thing when you go to the house of God that God has set you in the time of trouble, to seek help, to praise God. And the scripture says here, underlying that in verse 9, he will hear and help. I don't know about you, that's good news. That's good news to know that when we're faced with trouble and we need help from God, all we need to do is go to the house of God and begin to praise God. And the scripture says here that he hear and help. He will hear and help you. Verse 10 says, and now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Now here's Jehoshaphat and the Israelites. They're saying that they can't compete. They can't come against this great army that's coming against them. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do. But they said, our eyes are upon thee. They began to seek God. This vast army, three armies were coming against Israel. They didn't know what to do. They went to the sanctuary and began to praise God. And God said that when you do that, he hears and he will help. Verse 13, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. They all were in the house of God. And they were praising God. And the latter part of verse 14 says, and the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the Lord of the congregation came upon Mattiah, a Levite, the sons of Asaph. The Spirit came upon Jael. In other words, the Spirit of God came upon some of the servants of God in the house of God as they were praising God. The Spirit of God came upon them. Now God is getting ready to send word. They're getting ready to prophesy. Verse 15 says, and he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thy king Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Let's go down to verse 17. He goes on to say, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Now, what did they do when they were faced with trouble? When they were faced with trouble, they went into the house of God, led by Jehoshaphat, all of Israel, the men, the women, the children, they all went into the house of God and began to praise God. And that's what I'll be talking about today. That's what I'll be talking about, four ways to praise God, four ways to praise God. If you go down to verse 21, or verse 22, the scripture says, and when they begin to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Now God came against these three vast armies that were coming against Israel. God began to fight for Israel when Israel began to praise God. Now that word praise right there is tahila. Tahila is the Hebrew word for praise in verse 22. And when they begin to sing and to praise, tahila is the Hebrew word, tahila. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. They were hit hard. They were destroyed. They turned on one another. When the children of God began to tahila, when they began to praise God, tahila, that Hebrew word tahila means to sing praises, to do praiseworthy deeds, are to glorify God publicly, to declare the goodness and the greatness of God publicly. And that's what they had begun to do. That's what Israel started to do. They began to seek God in the house of God, in the sanctuary. And when they begin to tahila, when they begin to sing songs to God and to do praiseworthy deeds and to publicly declare the glory of God, God fought for them, and God will fight for you and I in the time of trouble. When we come to the house of God and we begin to praise God, to tahila, sing praises to God, boast in God, to publicly declare declare his goodness, God will fight for you. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. They began to turn on one another. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. They destroyed each other as the children of God began to praise God, to give God some tahilah, to begin to sing of God's goodness and to declare his glory in the midst of the congregation. When they began to do that, God said, you don't need to fight in this battle. The battle's not yours, but the battle is mine. God began to began to fight against the enemy. He had them to destroy one another when the children of Israel began to praise God. It's so very important to praise God. It's the will of God that we praise him. The Bible tells us over in Thessalonians, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning. It's the will of God. It's the will of God for us to give God praise. And as they began to praise God in the midst of the congregation, the enemy turned on themselves, and none escaped, the scripture says in verse 24, none of them escaped. They looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. Verse 25 says, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels. There was a wealth transference that took place just then, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. The enemies destroyed themselves when Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel began to praise God. Tehillah began to praise God. The enemies turned on themselves and destroyed one another. And Israel went in and took the spoil. They took the riches and the precious jewels and stripped all the riches off of the dead bodies more than they could carry away. They were 3 days in gathering the wealth. It was so much. All because they began to praise God in the midst of their trouble. Praise is a powerful weapon. For our weapons are not carnal, the Bible says, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. See, some people might look at that wasn't good battle plan right there. That's ridiculous. That's all they had to do to win this battle was to praise God. That's all they had to do. But to the carnal mind, to the fleshly person, to the unsaved people, that seems foolish. But praise is a powerful weapon. It's powerful through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Tehillah is the Hebrew word for praise. Tehillah, here in verse 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 22. Now, there's four different ways we can praise God. Four different ways. And we need to learn. There's four ways to praise God. Tehillah. Four ways, because since we see that praise is so powerful that it causes God to fight for us in the midst of trouble. Number one, we need to praise God continually. Continually. The psalmist said in Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We ought to continually praise God. It ought to be something that we do every day. It's a powerful weapon. It's a powerful tool. Praise is powerful. I mean, it will confound the enemy. It will put the enemy into confusion. The enemy comes against themselves and destroy themselves. God will fight for you as you praise him. It's a powerful weapon, and we need to do it continually. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Four ways to praise God. Number one, continually. Continually means over a long period of time without stopping, only with short breaks. We need to continually praise God. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, the scripture says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How? Continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We ought to do that continually. God, you're so awesome. You're so wonderful. In the midst of trouble, or even when things are going good, we ought to continually praise God. God, there's no other God like you. You're the only true living God. There's nothing too hard for you, God. You're wonderful, and we ought to even sing praises to God. And we can do praiseworthy deeds. Praiseworthy deeds. Do good deeds in the house of God, in the sanctuary. And that's praise also. Doing praiseworthy deeds. That word tehillah. That word for, it's tehillah for praise in verse 22. Tehillah. And it means praiseworthy deeds. So we can do good deeds in the house of the Lord, and that's praise. We can sing praises to God, and that's praise. We can publicly declare the goodness of God and the glory to God, and the glory of God, and that's praise. And when we do that, the enemy will be smitten. And the scripture says that God heard and he helped. He will hear and he helps. God hears our praise. And when he hears our praise, the scripture says that he will hear, and not only will he hear, he will help. That's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 9. When we begin to praise God continually, he will hear and he will help. Oh, trouble comes against everyone. The Bible says, Jesus said, Yeshua said, in this world you'll have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So he's saying you can overcome the world also when we do the right thing, when we use the weapons that God has given us. And one of the weapons that God has given us is praise. God loves our praise. And the scripture says he will hear it and he will help us. So number one, we're talking about four ways to praise God. Number one, we need to praise him continually. Number two, we need to praise God sacrificially. Sacrificially. What does that mean, sacrificially? Well, that means it's going to cost us something. That means that we need to give God our best. We shouldn't give God our worst. We shouldn't give God just a little bit. We should give him our best. That's what it means to give God praise sacrificially. It means to give your best. Give your best. Not your worst. Give your best. Don't give enough just to get by. We need to give God our best praise. We need to give God our best service, because praiseworthy deeds also is praise. We need to give him our best as we're serving God in the house of the Lord. We need to sing praises to God, and we need to give him our best. When we're declaring his goodness and his glory, we need to give him our best. When we're sowing seeds or financial seeds, that's a praiseworthy deed. Also, we need to give them our best. Tehillah is the Hebrew word for praise in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 22. Tehillah is the word for praise in Hebrew, and it means praiseworthy deeds. It means songs of praise. It means publicly declaring the glory of God. When we do that continually, God will hear and he will help in our time of need. Number one, we need to praise God continually. Number two, we need to praise God sacrificially. That means we need to give him our best. Look at Malachi chapter 1. Chapter 1, and let's look at verse 8. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is that not evil? See, back in the Bible days, they used to give animal sacrifices. And some of those jokers, they wouldn't take their best animal to sacrifice to God. What would they do? They would take blind goats or blind sheep or blind pigeons. They would take their worst. And God says right here, is not that evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is not that evil? That some of them would even try to offer up lame or sick doves or sheep to God. God says, hey, that's evil. sacrificially whatever we do for God. That means we need to give our best. We need to give God our best, sacrifice our best. It says right here, if ye not offer the blind, and if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto the governor. Will he be pleased? If you offer a sick, a lame, a weak, a sorry gift to the president or the governor of Texas, he'll look at you like, man, this is weak. This is lame. You wouldn't do that to a natural man. Why would you give just a little bit of your worst to God? We need to sacrifice our best to God. That's what we need to do. We need to sacrifice our best. Psalm 116, verse 17. We need to offer our praises to God sacrificially. That means our best. Our best. So we need to give it all we got. Psalm 116 and verse 17 says, I will offer thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. You see, we need to offer sacrificially. We need to sacrificially praise God. We need to give him our best. And number three, we need to praise God out of gratitude because he provides for us. He takes care of us. We ought to be grateful because God takes care of us. He provides for us. You don't pull your own self up by your own bootstrap. No, God reigns on the just and the unjust. He takes care of us. And so we ought to be so gratitude. We ought to give praises out of gratitude. The scripture says in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 10, listen to what the scripture says. It says, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. We ought to be grateful and bless God and praise God for the good that he do for us. And my fourth and final point, we ought to praise God because he's God, out of respect that he's God. The Bible says in Psalm 150, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. Animals have enough sense. They got breath. They have enough sense to praise God. Surely men ought to praise God. We ought to praise God. He died for us on the cross. He saved us. He's given us opportunity to live eternally with him and escape hell. We ought to, just because he's God and just because he's good, out of gratitude, we ought to give God praise. And we ought to give it to him sacrificially and continually because he's a good God. And when we do that, the scripture says that he will hear and he will help. The scripture says this poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his trouble. When we give God praise continually, when we give God praise sacrificially and out of gratitude, and because he's God, out of respect, God will hear us and he will help us, just like he did for Jehoshaphat and Israel when those three armies, vast armies, came against them. And not only did God deliver them out of their trouble, but they came out of their trouble wealthy and rich with all the spoil. We ought to continually give God praise. Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. Don't complain about what's coming against you. Don't worry about what's coming against you. Just begin to praise God. And the scripture said in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the scripture says that he will hear us and he will help. Verse 20, verse 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 9 says that he will hear and help when we begin to praise him. And that's the word God wanted me to share tonight.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I want to thank God for what the message was tonight, and we just thank God for the next message to come on. I will understand we've had some difficulties, and so I'll send emails out to everybody. If you just bear with me, it'll be better. So, Pastor, are you ready to go on the line?
Well, okay, since I twisted my arm, I guess I can still go on.
I'm going to hold your toe, too. Don't do
it. Praise God. Yeah, well, you know, it's for live radio. That's good. That's all good. It's all good. So,
yeah.
You know, amen, amen. So, I'm Pastor William Irwin with Broken Yoke International Ministry here in the Houston area. You can look up on my website at BYIM.us. We do a lot of disaster relief. We do a lot of other things in the ministry. Outreaches and other we join together with a multitude of different ministries. That's basically what we do with my ministry. But you know, the other day I was sitting there and I was teaching and God brought this on to me and you know, Jesus sat there and he said, I'm going to get into Galatians 5 here in a second, but it'll all come together. Jesus sat there. And he told him, he says, I come with a sword to bring division amongst the brothers. And, you know, I had to sit and think about that for a minute. Then it dawned on me what it was. You see, most people will sit there and read that scripture and they will think, well, okay, that's between, he's going to bring division in the church. He's going to bring it between the apostle and me or Dr. Hunter and me. Or is that my physical brother, my sibling, you know, in our own house? Well, that's going to disrupt. God's not that type of a God that's going to sit there and bring that division in that, the shattering the families shattering the body of Christ. That's not what he was talking about. What he was talking about in that particular scripture was that from the seed of Adam to the seed of David was the division where it was split, where he brought division so that those who are in Christ will have to be able to return to the holiness of the Father in heaven and that we would walk in the blessings of God and not of the curse of Adam that he from the falling. And I go back here and I'll show you right here in Galatians 5, verse 13. It says, for brothers, we have been called into liberty, only use not liberty for the occasion to the flesh, but by the love serve one another. For all the laws is fulfilled is one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, so Jesus, when he fulfilled the law, what he fulfilled the law in was that the spoken word of God to reconcile what Adam had lost. There was a spoken word that he brought back. It wasn't the laws of Moses. He brought back what God had originally spoke in creation to bring it back to its fullness of the law. So no man can do this. Only he could do it because he was God. He could reestablish. He could reestablish the covenant between man and himself. He was the only one who was able to do this. He was the only one to be able to sit there and take back what Adam had lost. And you know, and then those of us that are in liberty of Christ, we are to follow after him. And I know that a lot of us, a lot of times we come under attack, and sometimes it's something like it's confusion. Say, well, God, you know, this is coming, and you know, but it feels right. But God specifically tells us, not of the flesh. He keeps on constantly. He's speaking in the Bible. He says of the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God is against a lot of different things of adultery, of thief, murder, and so on and so forth, if he's against that, why would he put that on your heart to be able to walk into that? That is the flesh of Adam. That is of man. That's not of God. God says we're to be above that. We are to be able to sit there and walk in the Spirit of God, in the Spirit of Christ. And Jesus died on the cross for our sins, cleansed us, that we will not have to go back into that lifestyle that he has called us out of, that separated us at the cross, that separated us to bring us into the light of Christ, of our Father in heaven. And then we continue to walk in that faith, and can we continue to walk in that spirit, that we can leave the rest of that behind, and we don't have to fall back to it. All we have to do is recognize for what it is, and we can cast it out. We can stand on that. We stand on the Word of God. We sit there and we stand on the Word of God, but these attacks keep coming, and eventually, at some point, a lot of people fall. A lot of people fall into the traps that Satan has set, whether regardless if it's adultery, it doesn't make any difference what it is. The temptation becomes so strong. But that's what that Jesus keeps telling us, to not to step back into the fleshly world, not into our fleshly bodies, that we were to continue to walk in the Spirit of God. We can continue to walk. Our enemies, as the apostle said, will fall to the right, to the left. They will fall out of heaven. They will, the riches and the glory will come to you. But if we sit there and turn back and we start going after the things that we want, not desire, the things that we're deceived and believing that it would be so, that, okay, God wants me to do this because it feels right. Well, that's the flesh talking. That's not the Spirit of God talking. You have to ask, well, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want me to be? Where is it that you want me to go? And then follow after that Spirit. And you walk in that Spirit. And when you're walking in that Spirit, you have no time. Because time is irrelevant. Because God will carry you. He will translate you from one place to another. He can literally do that. If he did it But if he would do it for those in the Bible, he would do it for you today. He's no respecter of person. Jesus, when he stepped on the boat and he sat there and he rebuked the storm, immediately they were translated to the other shore. There's no time difference. There's no space and time. Because God is, he is time. He is not bound by the things of the world, that what we see. And neither do you have to be if you're walking in the Spirit of Christ. This sounds a little far-fetched and it sounds a little way out there, but it's true. But, you know, we keep bound ourselves to our body, and we keep looking at the fleshly things. We keep looking at the things here. We don't see beyond what God sees. But if you're walking in Christ, we can see. God gives us visions. He gives us desires. He gives us a way out of our situations. He gives us all these things, but without the understanding of the Word, without the understanding of who you are, and without the understanding that He has provided, He has made a way, He has created everything into existence. Whether you fall back into lust or whatever it is of the flesh, He has provided a way out, and it's through repentance. It's through that appraising the Lord as to who He is, and knowing that He's got you. He's got you in His hand. He's got your back. We have to understand who we are in Christ, and we have to understand what God has done for us. And like I said, the division that He created was against the brother of the seed of Adam to the seed of David, from that point on, of Christ. And then Jesus had changed the world. He had changed it back into the accordance of what He had. We could do it here today on earth. We did not have to wait for Him to come back. for the second coming. He's already done it. He's waiting for you and I and everyone to step out in faith who have received Jesus, who have received him as your Lord and Savior. He has given you all the tools. He has given you everything. He's, you know, Jesus was the only one that was the Holy Spirit was given without measure. Everyone else has been given a measure. And then as we continue to increase in our faith, then he keeps pouring more into us and more into us and more into us until we go beyond our own selves, that we can become Christ-like, where we begin to walk in the Spirit and we can talk in the Spirit. And nothing that comes against us can harm us. But when we start looking at it once again into the fleshly realm, well, then we fall. We falter, and we start whining, and we start complaining, and we start crying. But if we understand and realize that all we have to do is turn around and start looking at the Lord and looking at him and start walking with him, that all those things that are coming against you, all those enemies that are coming against you, all the things that Satan is throwing at you, I don't care what it is in your life. I don't care if it's a bad job. I don't care if you got somebody that's coming against you. I don't care. Those are out there with the ideology of a perspective of life. It doesn't make any difference. As you're walking in the Spirit of God, it cannot come to you and it cannot harm you. Yes, we see it. We recognize it. And we don't have to participate in it. We don't have to fall into the traps that they're in. And yet we be the light so that those will see us and those will come out of that situation regardless of what it is. If it's adultery, if it's whatever, it's drugs, alcohol, if it doesn't make any difference what it is, they will see that light because that's what God has called us to do. God called us to be the light of the world. He called each and every one that are in Christ. We don't need to be wasting our time basically in falling back and we into the situations. Yes, you're sitting in your living room, you're sitting in your car, you're listening on the radio, you're somewhere wherever you're at, and you're seeing the physical and you're touching and say, well, how can this be? I'm right here. This is happening right now. How can this be? How can this be? Well, you stop looking at that in the natural. You start praising God for the things to come. You start praising God for the things that he has promised you. And eventually, wherever it is that you're at, you can step out of it. You know, I told people when I was counseling that for drug and alcohol, I told them, I said, look, I said, you know, when you're in AA and stuff like that, they tell you, you know, it's a day at a time, one step at a time, a day at a time. But I'm going to tell you that it makes no difference what it is that you're doing. I don't care if you're going down the wrong road, the wrong path. It doesn't matter if you're going and following the Lord Jesus. It makes no difference. If you're going to be, if you set goals to be a great musician, or if you set goals to be an entrepreneur of a manufacturing or a teacher or whatever it is that you are in your heart you're pursuing, and you're sitting and you're thinking, you're wondering, how can I do this? How can I do this? Well, I don't have this and I don't have that. Well, you're looking in the natural. You're not looking in the supernatural that God has already provided you for. But I'm going to tell you, the true secret of it is, at a step of any man's journey, the first step you take is 99% of the journey. 99% of the journey, because you've already made your mind up. This is what you're going to do. The 1% is all we have to walk out, and God provides it, and it doesn't make any difference. Like I said, if you fall away and you fall back into your old lifestyle, you fall back, you made your mind up, that's what you're going to do. You're going to pursue after that lust of the body. You're going to pursue that lust after the flesh. You're going to pursue that lust after whatever it is that you were once taken from, if you fall back into it. And it's the same way if you're following Christ. You make up your mind that you're going to follow Christ. It doesn't make any difference what it is you're doing. It makes no difference where you're at, where you're sitting. If you're following Christ, he will take you out. He will take you out of the desert. He will take you and put you on a mountain. He will sit there and give you the best of everything he has and all he has, just that 1%. Walk out that 1% with him, because the 99% is already completed, because you have already made up your mind what it is that you're going to do. Any successful man will tell you the same thing. You start out with a small whatever. I think it was one of the computer companies. They started out in their garage. And look, they become multimillion corporations and businesses. There's a lot of people who started out selling burgers at a burger stand and is pursued into greater and better things. It makes no difference. But see, these people made up their mind that this is what they wanted to do. This is what they wanted to pursue. It makes no difference. I'm telling you, I'm trying to encourage somebody right now that's listening, that if you're listening to your flesh, that you want to go back into the worldly things, well, you know, I gave up this for God, and I gave up for this for God, and I gave up that for God, and I don't see any fruit. I don't see anything. Well, I might as well just give up and go back to what I was doing, at least ways where I was dead before. At least ways I know that things weren't working out. But that's okay, because I understand that. Well, that's the flesh. That's because the fleshly body that you were in, that you crawl back into. You see, when Jesus comes into your life, he is basically a foreigner. Yet he is a true spirit. He is the truth, and he is the life, and he is the way. He is the true spirit. But you see, we are so wrapped up in our own body and the things of the flesh, because we are born naturally into that. And God gives us an opportunity out of that. Because of the division that he brought, the sword that he cut, that he separated the flesh from the spirit, from that of the natural to the supernatural. And I'm trying to say is, you begin to walk in belief and trust in the Lord and walk in that of the super, and all things will come to pass. They will glorify God through your success. But if you're complaining and you're constantly whining and complaining, then you're not hearing from God. And you're beginning to look back at the flesh, the fleshly things of life, and you're not looking at the Spirit of God, but he has created for you the things that you can see in your mind. And if you walk to it, just as God looked upon the spirit in heaven, and he saw that it was good. He looked upon the waters, which is the spirits in heaven. He looked upon it, and he spoke everything into existence. You have that same ability. You can speak life or death into your life. You can speak life and death into your business. You can speak life and death into your family, into your children, into your government. You can speak life and death. You can go back to the fleshly world, which is a dying world, which is a dead world, or you can sit there and begin to speak life of Christ in yourself, in your family, in your businesses, and everything that you come encounter with. It makes no difference. God will prosper you in that account. He will make a way for everything, whether you see it or not. As long as you have faith and belief, God will make a way for you. I'm just trying to encourage somebody tonight. I don't know who it is out there that I'm trying to encourage, but I'm telling you right now, just turn around. Drop that with it, that fleshly spirit that's come upon you right now. I don't care. I don't care if you turn back to start looking at pornography. I don't care if you start looking at beautiful women. I don't care if you are looking at men. It makes no difference what it is that is of the flesh, that you're entertaining the flesh. You need to stop it right to the Lord. Turn back to him. Turn back to the Spirit of God and begin to get back into his arms and let him carry you until you are able to strong enough to be able to take a step again on your own. And but he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you, because he'll always be with you. Well, where is he? Well, if you're in Christ, born again, in the riches of his glory, he is in you and you're in him. You become one in Christ. You know, We're told many times, even in Galatians 5, it says, we've got to be careful that we don't tear each other apart. We don't tear each other down. We don't speak bad things about one another. Because in speaking bad about somebody, we're tearing ourselves down. We're destroying ourselves. Whether it be your pastor, whether it be the congregation or the church, whether it be your boss, whether it be your husband or your wife or your children, you're tearing your life apart. And you need to stop. You need to start speaking life. You need to start speaking the goodness of Christ. You need to start speaking the good things that God has for us in heaven and earth. We need to start speaking it and start believing it and start walking in it, whether we see it or not. Because each day is a new day and a new beginning, and each day gets brighter and brighter and brighter, because we can then begin to see the fruit of our own words, as we see the fruit of God's words when He spoke everything into creation. We're seeing it right now, the fall Adam and what it's caused upon the earth. But yet we're still sit there and we're watching God continue to work His miracles and drawing the people out of the darkness and bringing them back into the light. You know, we need to pray for our nations, and not just the United States, but all nations that are under attack with the evil, where they're under attack. And we need to begin to pray. We need to begin to pray that the nations will lift up David's, not Goliath's, but David's, the true, that those who are in strength, courage, and have faith and believing in the Lord, that can change this world and bring it back to its riches and glory. That's basically what I have for tonight. I don't know how much more time I got, guys. But I just know that I was talking to somebody, and somebody needed to hear it. Somebody needed to hear what I was talking about, because I know there's somebody out there right now that's faltering. You're giving up on God because things aren't going the way you want them to go. But you know what? They're going the way God wants them to go, because He's drawing on you. He's drawing your faith out of you. He's drawing on you to strengthen you, so that you can glorify Him, that He can glorify you. He's drawing on you right now. Turn and start walk back into the fleshly world. You walk back into the natural of things. You will lose what God has prepared for you. You don't know it, you don't see it, but if you believe and if you trust in Him, all the glory of God will be upon you, as it is upon you. See, so many other out there, so many other people. God is no respecter of person. If he make a man that does not know God rich, He will also make a man who knows God rich. God is no respecter of person. He will bring good things to bad people just as well as He bring bad things to good people. It makes no difference. He's no respecter of person. But what He is doing unto each and every one, He's drawing on you. He's calling on you. He's pressing in on you. He's strengthening you. He's changing you. He's making a difference in your life, so that you begin to walk in the Spirit of Christ, that you begin to walk in His light, into His glory, that you'll be able to stand against the fire, the darts. You begin to stand against the wind. You begin to stand against all those things that are coming against you, because through your strength, through your determination, and saying, no, Satan, I'm not going back to where I came from. I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm going forward. I'm going with Jesus. I am not going back to where God has taken me from. Right now, somebody needs to hear this, and somebody needs to turn right now and turn your life around, turn back to the Lord. He will forgive you because He understands and He knows. But let Him continue to work on you. Let Him be the potter. Let Him continue to mold you and create you and strengthen you, so that you can have the desires of your heart. Because the desires of your heart is what He has put into your heart. Not the desires of the flesh, but the desires of your heart. So, I'm just saying right now, somebody needs to listen to what I'm saying. And I, right now, Father, right now, whoever it is, Lord, that needs that heard this word, Lord, that you begin to strengthen them, Lord, that you would send an angel, Lord, to minister to them, Lord, in this dark hour that they're in, for the decision-making that they're making, Lord, right now, that they will begin to turn back and follow after you. That we begin right now to honor and glorify you, Lord, the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. That we begin to honor and glorify you, and not that of the world, of the flesh, but of the supernatural, and that you will pick them up. And once again, you will dust them off, and you will clean them up, and you will set them apart from the world. And Lord, you will strengthen them, Lord. You will strengthen them in their walk. You will strengthen them in their spirit, because they've seen the lies. They've seen where it's failed. They have seen everything, Lord. Now, Father, I ask right now that you would just touch them. That you would hold them once again in your arms. Father, you call out their names, that they will respond to your voice, Lord. They will hear your voice, Lord. Father, right now, Lord, I ask that you have mercy on them, Lord, and forgive them, Lord. And Father, I ask right now for every man, woman, and child in the United States that they begin to hear your word, Lord. Doesn't matter if the law sits there and says you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't speak about Jesus, you can't do this, you can't do that. Yes, we can. Because you're the Lord and Savior, the Son of God. That you are the Lord, the creator of all things in heaven and earth. That you, Lord, created all things for your riches and for your glory, Lord. And we are just a partaker in it, Lord. Father, right now, Lord, I ask that you would just forgive this nation, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you would begin the leaders of this nation, Lord, the ones that you elect, those who you're electing, Lord, that you're bringing into office, Lord, that they have a change of heart, Lord, and they begin to see and recognize the truth, Lord, the political correctness and all that, what is destroying this nation, Lord, that once again it become one nation under God and not a divided nation, Lord. Not as what the world will see, that you brought a sword to bring division among brothers, Lord, that it was not your intention. It was of the spirit, of the flesh, and of the supernatural. Father, we thank you, Father. We thank you for everything that you're doing in everyone's lives right now, Lord. We thank you for your precious blood. We thank you, Jesus, for everything that you've done. Continue to do, Lord. We thank you, and we bless you, and we honor you, Lord. And if we could all sit and say amen to glorify your precious name, we thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Well, praise the living God. Our God is such a great God. And you know, tonight we're just being blessed of the Lord to do all the things, because the Bible has declared, those of us, if thou can believe, all things are possible. And so tonight, because last night we were on the radio station for at least 3 hours last night, God moves so, and God is moving tonight. And I know that we've had the apostle and the pastor, and we got the evangelist out of Louisiana. He's got a word for us. And then we open the lines up so we can ask for prayer. Going to talk and ask God to give us the strength and understanding. Somebody out there needs a healing. Somebody needs to know Jesus Christ. So are you there, my dear beloved? Evangelist Abraham Johnson, are you there? Only my father, brother. Abraham, go to the Lord. Abraham, are you there? Abraham, are you there?
Ma'am, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Sister Taylor, are you here? Sister Taylor?
Just a minute. Sister Taylor?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, God bless you. I've been hearing you. I've been hearing about you. I've been hearing you're a woman of God.
Oh, I am.
Amen. I'm gonna have Sister Taylor to go before me tonight, then. And hallelujah, Sister Taylor, then have your way.
Okay.
Go ahead, Sister Taylor. Go ahead.
Okay. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that brought my liberty. I do not know just how he came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever live my life to Calvary.
In the blood of Jesus.
To view the cross.
The blood of Jesus.
What Jesus, where he died for me. The grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Taylor. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Glory to God. And we had some interference, and but glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise
God. After the message, and I want you to do it again. Amen.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Amen. After the message, I want you to do it again, Sam. You know, glory to God. Hallelujah, Sam.
Right.
Amen.
And, you know,
I just like for everybody to stay in their own in their own lane, in their own zone, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Praise
I can't
God.
Sing, but I know good song music when I hear it. But tonight, Sam, we're going to take a moment and we're going to talk about the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We hear so little about the blood, about the Holy Spirit, amen. And I'm going to let you know tonight, Sam, everything is under the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
It's power in the blood of
it's
Jesus Christ.
The blood of Jesus.
And the Amen. More I study the blood, the more I see that, hallelujah, the blood is necessary. You see, the devil get agitated when the blood of is being spoken or being taught. The devil, hallelujah, glory to God, he get agitated. He cannot come and he will not come across the bloodline. My brothers and sisters, we're going to have to learn how to plead the blood of Jesus. How to cover ourselves with the blood. How to cover our loved one with the blood of Jesus. How, because we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We've been sanctified by the blood, justified by the blood, made holy clean by the blood of the Lamb. So I'm going to start off with 1 Peter. 1 Peter, hallelujah. Hallelujah, glory to God. Let me get there first. Hallelujah. 1 Peter, the 12th verse, glory to God, the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus. I mean, James, the one I can't find it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bear with me. Okay, so we're going to talk about 1 Peter, 18 and 19 verse as a jump off. Is that all right? Father, we just thank you for your word going forward on tonight. We thank you, Father God, for amazing grace. We thank you, Father God, for your grace being sufficient. Now, Father God, we ask that the Holy Spirit would lead and guide us, Lord God, into all truth. We thank you, Father God, for your word. We thank you for the name, and we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Father God, for we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for pulling down strongholds and casting out every imagination that tried to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We're talking about the power of the blood.
Amen.
Power of the blood. Chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, for your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers. Verse 19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ. With the precious blood of Christ. Call the blood of Christ precious. As of a lamb without blemish and without spots. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ is precious. The blood of Jesus Christ is powerful.
Yes.
And Hebrews said, if it had not been for the shedding of blood, my brothers and sisters, there would be no remission for sin.
Amen.
We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeeming, we were been purchased by the blood. Our redemption, our salvation, our healing have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. He paid the ultimate price. Hallelujah. Shed his blood upon Calvary's cross. The sins of mankind. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that he redeemed us. So in the world, he reconciled us back unto the Father, because he said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said, all, not some, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I want to share with you all on tonight a few things. What is given to us freely. It was given to us freely, but it called Jesus something. See, salvation, the blood of Jesus Christ, salvation comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. Salvation. What is salvation? Being born again, saved from eternal damnation. Salvation is an act. Being born again, saved from eternal damnation. We was bound for eternal damnation, but Jesus, God saw that he would send his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Glory to God. And not only that, Sam, but we only think about John 16, but John 17 let us know something also. He said, for God sent not his son unto the world to condemn the world,
but that the world through him,
might be saved.
Amen.
You know, many times a Christian want to condemn the world. But I remind us that I was one time just like the people in the world. I guess I'm the only one. I was just like that. I was out there saying, glory to God. Hallelujah. Born for eternal damnation. Made a quality decision. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm not talking about hallelujahs. And a few years this statement came about, then I'm talking about over 25 or 30 years ago, I got sick and tired, being sick and tired. When I got sick and tired, and then hallelujah, the Lord stepped in and began to deliver me. He began to deliver me, began to set me free. So salvation means being born again, saved from eternal damnation. Salvation. Mm-hmm. And salvation just don't mean, my brothers and sisters, that we're saved to go to heaven. Salvation means soundness. Salvation means whole. Spiritually, naturally. Glory to God. When, hallelujah. God just don't want to be saved partly. He wants to be saved fully. So salvation is whole, sound. And not only that, he gave us, freely gave us the atonement. You say, well, brother, what is atonement? Atonement, that which blot out or cover over the sins of mankind. The atonement means that he blotted out, meaning that I don't have nothing at all. Hallelujah. Before me or behind me that I did or would do that the atonement would not blot it out. What do you say? What do you say? Atonement. Luke 17:11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it unto you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that make an atonement for your soul. It is the blood that cleanses us. It is the blood that covers us. It's the blood that protects us. So we going to have to learn how to apply the blood, use the blood, plead the blood. We have to cover ourselves with the blood. And just doing what he wants to the believers. And we just taking it. Shame on us. When God has given us authority over the devils and demons and principalities. See, we have to learn how to apply the blood. We don't have to be blood slingers. Years ago, saying they had gun slingers, so we're going to have to be blood slingers. Sling the blood, hallelujah. When you feel something is not right and going wrong in your life, your relationship, your marriage, hallelujah, with your kids, whatever the case may be, we need to start slinging blood. We need to start pleading the blood of Jesus. We're overcomers by the blood of Jesus. We're than conquerors only through the blood of Jesus. And I want to let you know, my brothers and sisters, we could only enter into the Holy of Holies through the blood. The only way that we're going to enter into the presence of God is through the blood of Jesus. Romans 5:11 says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have now received the atonement. We receive the atonement by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We have been washed in the blood, made holy clean by the blood of Jesus. And I want to share with you the redemption. Redemption, you say, well, yeah, what is redemption, brother? The redemption means the contract of the life is paid in full, but from the power of sin. Redemption. Jesus paid the ultimate price. He gave up his life. He sacrificed his life for the sins of humanity. Psalm 107:2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he have redeemed from the hands of the enemy. We have been redeemed from the hands of every principality, every enemy, every witchcraft, every warlock. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The contract on our lives has been paid in full, my brothers and sisters. We've been brought back from the power of sin and death. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption. In whom we have redemption through his blood. The blood of Jesus. We have redemption through the blood of Jesus. Not only that, we have the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Hallelujah. You can have all the money in the world. You can have everything. You can have the homes and cars and all the prestige there is. But if you don't have the blood of Jesus in your life, you won't have nothing. Revelation 5:9 says, thou art worthy. That word you, that word thou, mean you. Abraham, you are worthy to take the blood. And to open the seal thereof, for thou was slain and have redeemed us to God by the blood. We have been redeemed back unto God by the blood of Jesus. Reconciliation, he said. Reconciliation means that, hallelujah, we was away from God, but But through the blood of Jesus Christ, he brought us back unto the right standing with God. Now, but also justification. We're justified by the blood. Ooh, we're justified by the blood. The word justified means that I've been found not guilty. We have been acquitted of guilt and sin. We have been acquitted and we are not guilty. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look what Romans 5:9 said, much more than being now justified by Jesus' blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. By Jesus' blood, we shall be saved. Not might be saved, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The 13th chapter and the 38th verse says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. Jesus is preached to each and every one of us the forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. We have been forgiven of every sin that we did or we might do. All we have to do is repent and ask the Lord to forgive us for our sins. And guess what? He said that he would remember it no more. He'll cast it as far as the east is from the west. And then he said he'll cast it into the deepest part of the sea. Hallelujah. That's something to rejoice about. Justification. We've been acquitted for every sin that we may have committed. We have been found innocent, not guilty. Righteousness. Righteousness. He said, we are put back into right standing with God. Right standing with God. We have been put in right standing with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Like what he said in 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, he said, hallelujah. If any man be in Christ, we're a new creature, a new creation in Christ. These old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We are a new creation because of the blood of Jesus. Only that saying, we are made to be righteous. Verse 21 in that same chapter saying, hallelujah. It says, he made us to be, he became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. He made us to be righteous. I don't care what we think, what we do. Hallelujah. Saying, glory to God. All we have to do is repent for the remission of our sin, and we will become in right standing with God again, only through the blood of Jesus. Romans 3:23 say, all have sinned, not some. He said, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every last one of us have come short of the glory of God. I was riding around cutting grass one day, and I heard in my spirit, not in my head, but in my spirit, hallelujah, in my belly, said the Lord said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And hallelujah, saying glory. Nobody want to think that their parents did anything wrong. So I said, not my mama, not my mother. And I heard it loud, saying with the boldness, and hallelujah, saying, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And hallelujah. I paused, put on the brakes, hallelujah, and I say, my mother, you say, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. There's not a human on the face of the earth that have not sinned. But thank God for sending his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him. See, that's the prerequisite to hallelujah. Life is just to believe. Just to believe that, hallelujah. And when we believe, the words, all things, excuse me, are possible to them that believe. Look what he said, Romans 3:25. God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood. The word propitiation for God. mean that we have fellowship with God. That's what that word means. Propitiation means that we have fellowship with God. Faith in the blood. We have to have faith. That's why Hebrews 11 and 6 say, but without faith it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder for those that diligently seek him. See, faith is mandatory. Hallelujah. We have to have faith. Look what it says. Have faith in God. To speak it out, to say it. It's in his righteousness for the remission of sin that are through the forbearance of God. Through the remission of sin. Hallelujah. And I'm going to stop at sanctification. We don't talk about sanctification as sanctified any longer. I remember years ago we used to say, talk about sanctified. Sanctified, but we don't talk about being sanctified no more. Sanctified means that we are set apart. We're saints of God. We have been set apart. How are you? Unto God. Salvation as well as to each day afterwards through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been sanctified, set apart, hallelujah, through the blood of Jesus. First Corinthians 1 and 30 say, but him you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and justification. Hebrews 10 and 10 says, by the which we all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jesus will never come again to shed his blood. He did it once and for all. Hallelujah. He's not going to do it again. And all we have to do is believe. Hallelujah. The word of God said by the power of God, we have been redeemed, we have been sanctified, we have been atoned, we have been justified, we've been righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. Sanctified. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus paid the ultimate price for us, hallelujah, to be delivered from the sin of eternal damnation. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I remember some of the old blood songs which said, hallelujah, nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away our sins. What can make us whole again? Nothing, absolutely nothing, my brothers and sisters, can make us, hallelujah, white as snow, but the blood of Jesus. And they say, oh, how precious is the flow that makes us white as snow. One song said, you are washed in the blood. And then there's a song that said, victory, the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Victory. That's why we can say that we are more than a conqueror. Not just a conqueror, but we are more than a conqueror because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then one songwriter said, because of the blood. And one said, holy is the blood. I know without a shadow of a doubt that we have to go back to the blood songs. Taking the blood songs. Hallelujah. God honors the blood. Hallelujah. He honors the blood. Glory to God. When we begin to sing the blood songs and glory to God, there's peace with God through the blood. We enter into the holy of holies only through the blood of Jesus. So we have to learn how to apply the blood, sling the blood. Put the blood upon your marriage. Put the blood upon your bank account, upon your checkbook. Put the blood of Jesus upon your children, upon your grandchildren, upon their children's children. Before you leave home, put the blood upon your automobile. Traveling, hallelujah, by land or sea or air, saying, plead the blood of Jesus. I never get up on the plane saying, without the hallelujah, in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, Lord God, with your blood. Protect us with your blood, Lord God. To and from. In the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to learn how, we have to learn how to plead the blood. I believe in pleading the blood. I believe in slinging the blood. I'm a blood slinger. Hallelujah. If you have something going on around you or in you, the blood even heals. Blood delivers. Blood set the captives free. Whosoever the Son set free, they are free indeed because of the blood. Amen. Hallelujah. I have your way in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sister Taylor?
Yes?
Have your way in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Let him use you. Amen.
Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty.
Yeah.
I do not know just how he came to love me so. He looked beyond my thought and saw my need. I shall my thighs Calvary,
yes,
to view the cross where Jesus, where he died for me.
Hallelujah. We thank God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we thank God for Sister Taylor on tonight. And hallelujah. Just want to introduce her. Hallelujah. And back on her, just want to introduce Sister Taylor. Hallelujah to the program. Amen.
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 All right. And hallelujah. And I thank God. Hallelujah for the word on tonight. I thank God for the hearers on the radio. I thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood.
Amen.
Hallelujah, of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
So, back in your hands, Brother Hunter.
Well, I tell you this much, tonight's a night that we just give God the glory. And my desire is to see the word of God go out with enthusiasm, with livability, lovability, yes-ability, to be able to let God use that person. Now, I believe in prayer. Does anybody have a prayer request, a need prayer, someone they know wants prayer? We on the radio to do just that also. Anybody, are you there? You need prayer?
Yeah, I got hello? Yeah, you listen. The pastor that I've been working with down in Greens Point, that she in the talking about the Biscayne Apartments where we did the disaster relief ministry. Now, they've given her favor to open up a church down there. And last week, she on the tennis court, she had a vacation Bible study there. And there's a lot of kids and a lot of outreaches that she's been doing throughout the whole community down there in Greens Point. But anyhow, with all the heat and everything else, that she had a heat stroke. In fact, she just got out of the hospital today, and they told her that she needed a lot of rest because at one point the other day she was hallucinating. And so I just want to lift Holly Rankin up in prayer, you know, as a minister of God. And for the flying work that she's doing down in Greens Point, she's going to be there for now on. The needs for all the people down there in the Greens Point area that in those apartment complexes, that she's got an outreach ministry. It's just awesome, and she's really changing lives down there. And we want to get her healed so she can go back onto it and continue the work that God has given her to do.
And what's her name?
Holly Rankin.
Okay. So I would have somebody to believe, and we're going to pray for that person. Who would like to start in that prayer and pray for that person that God has put on your heart, your spirit
Hallelujah.
To do it?
Glory to God. Glory to God. I went through that heat stroke thing then last year, year before last. Hallelujah. And it's nothing nice, hallelujah. You began to hallucinate and everything else, but because God brought me through, hallelujah, I know he can do the same thing for her because he's no respecter person. Say God is good. So I'm going to lead off, man, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father God, first and foremost, we're going to plead the blood of Jesus over our sister.
Amen.
Because we know that your word said, by the stripes, we are healed. So she's healed
Amen.
By the stripes of Jesus. So we thank you, Father God, because your word says, beloved above all things, I wish that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. So, Father God, we're standing in the gap for her. We are praying, Lord God, on her behalf. We are pleading the blood of Jesus. We are applying the blood. We are sprinkling the blood of Jesus over her. And, Father, we thank you, Father God, for the speedy recovery, Lord God, in her own life in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, for her ministry, Father God, for her outreach ministry, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, the blessing upon her and upon her ministry in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you, and it is so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
And
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Is there anybody else? They want to, you know, come in on that prayer to add in two or three touch. We could put a thousand to flight. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else want to join in on that prayer and continue it so that there will be a continuation?
Yeah. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for Holly, Lord, for you chose her, Lord, that we lift her up to you, Lord. We know that she's in your hands, and we know that she's in your care. Father, we thank you for the giving her the courage to step out in faith and to believe that she can change the lives of people, and that you've shown her and you've given her favor for the last 3 or 4 months down there in Greens Point to bring a revival in that area down there. Father, we thank you for everything you're doing, Lord. We ask for a speedy recovery on her life, Lord, and her body, Lord, that she will be able to get back to work and continue the work that you've called her to do, Lord. We know that it'll be done. We know that she needs rest right now, Lord. I ask that you be with her, Lord, that your spirit be with her, and that you send angels to minister to her, Lord. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we just take authority tonight, and we believe that all things work together for those of us that are called upon your name. Tonight's the night that we just know that we have a sister, not on her, there are many more on the line. Somebody need prayer right now, but we're believing, Father. We ask right now that the blood of Jesus Christ will sanctify, purify, and clarify the needs that we need right now. And we know that our sister's healed. But we know there are many more out there to listen, Father. Somebody's calling on the name of Jesus Christ right now. Somebody's on that deathbed. Have mercy upon them, Father, and let the blood of Jesus. May they confess that Jesus Christ is their Lord. I pray this night, Father, that somebody around the world, in Africa, in Israel, in Iran, in Iraq, in Turkey, in England, in France, in Alaska, in the state of Texas, in South America, somebody will come to know Jesus. I say tonight, Father, there is no God like you. But you say, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hill, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made the heaven and earth. And I know you made it, Father. And tonight, we just want to say thank you. Somebody on the radio tonight needs a touch of the Holy Ghost in their life. Father, and I just confess, if I've sinned, I have sinned somewhere this very, some other day. Forgive me, Father, in the name of Jesus, that my part, my movement will not be by these clay lips, will not be hindered. May the love that you have in the body of Christ come through me, come through all believers. I ask you tonight that you would keep us. Watch over America, Father, in a special way. And today is the day we just, as we lay our hands on this radio station, we say, let the fire fall on tonight. Let the anointing come on tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else got a testimony, a statement they want to say? Something they want to say with the Lord has been good? The Lord has been good to them today? Has he been good to you? Amen. Amen. As the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I want to thank y'all for bearing with me on the patience. We've been having some real interruption with this radio station, but I just command the enemy to take his hands off of it. Found out what the problem was, got it fixed, and we're moving forward. Praise God. Somebody said praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Anybody else out there have a request, a statement? You want to tell us something about who you are? God bless you. Hallelujah.
Ah, glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead.
Hallelujah.
Okay, I can hear you on the background. Praise God. Well, if there's no more statements or questions, we want to let you know tonight's been a night that God is on the radio station. We praise him, love him, and we adore him. So tomorrow night, listen, tomorrow night, I would ask you to come on the radio again with tomorrow night. I will be teaching for the first 30 minutes. I have another person going to be there. But there's a young lady who's been on the line with us. And she has issues with, she's in a wheelchair, what they call them, a quad. But we believe in God to heal her. And
amen.
She has love in her heart for God. We got to show love for these people. See, I'm going to tell you, you're talking to a man who's recovering from a stroke. When the devil tried to take me out, God kept me in. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not ashamed to tell you that I love Jesus. I'm not ashamed to tell you that I once was. I'm not ashamed to tell you that I now am. I'm not ashamed to tell you that I love Jesus Christ, but I love God more through Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to tell you that if you want to know what God is doing, because the days we're now living in, they're dangerous times. And everybody that don't know Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. That includes me, all my relatives. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to hell. The Bible tells you and I, Jesus said, no man that don't know me don't know the Father.
Amen.
You can say you know the Father, but you got to know me. Because Jesus gave it all in his hand. He said, I've taken it out in the book of Hebrews. He said, I've taken it out and I put it in my Son's hand. It's in the hands of Jesus Christ. This whole creation. He said, my name, his name is above every name. Thank you, Holy Father. His name is above every name. At the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether he's alive or dead, you're going to have to do it. So I'm just trying to encourage everybody. I don't care what church you go to, what building you go to. Is your heart ready? You know, wheat and tares grows together. I like the way that teacher talked the other night, that wheat and tares grows together. In the body of Christ, there are many Christians who say, but you know, we've got to go together. We can't put each other down. We've got to pick each other up. Right now, we're in a nation where there's one man trying to come on the scene and says, he said he's God. Everybody, no, I'll tell you, he's telling you, that man is said he's God. And let me tell you, the devil said he's God.
Amen.
And so what we have to do is we have to take everything up to Jesus Christ.
What kind of
thing
are you?
202. And we have to just come before him more than anything else in the world and to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords. And let me tell you something, love. 4.5 years ago, I wasn't supposed to be here, but the love of God kept me here. Now, if you're afraid of that, you're on the wrong radio channel. Because we believe here. We believe in raising the dead. Blind eyes of deaf ears unstopped. We believe. We believe in the fivefold. And I want to let you know tonight. Tonight's that night. See, everybody, I want to let you know. Because sometimes people come on the phone only when they want to be on there during that time. But I ask people to spend at least an extra 20 or 30 minutes with us. Now, that's going to let, see, everything makes a change. Everything. I'm not trying to build anything up. God has got what he needs right here. I'm reaching nations. I'm calling nations into repentance. I'm praying for them. And I'm telling you tonight, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell. That includes Willie J. Hunter. I know Jesus Christ in my heart. So I would say this to anybody who has a word they want to say, if it feel like I was beating up on you, I wasn't. I love you. I love you too much to beat up on you. I need your help. You need my help. I need your love. I need your companion. I need your understanding. Don't make a difference how much education you got. You got to submit to the word of God. Amen. So anybody got a word they want to say? Amen. Amen. So the Lord bless you and keep you till I see you on the other side. The peace of God be with you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.